Good day and welcome to Detroit Today. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson. Politics is not for the faint of heart, but not all races are so heated. Some are easily won over, especially for incumbents. That appears not to be true for two sitting Congress members. Haley Stevens of the 11th and Andy Levin of the 9th are two candidates who are battling it out right now. That's partly because the new congressional districts drawn by the Independent Citizens Commission have created an interesting race between the two of them as they both try to win the new seat in the 11th. Levin fashions himself as a pragmatic progressive who has won support of labor unions and the backing of Senator Bernie Sanders. He also talks a lot about our warming climate and the need to bring more clean energy jobs to Michigan to combat climate change. Stevens, on the other side, talks about her work in the Obama administration, helping to bail out the auto industry and lowering health insurance costs. She's won support from big names like retiring Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence. The 11th district race is fascinating, in part because it's clear that Southeast Michigan's politics are changing. That area is more diverse by class, race, and political affiliation than in the past, making it more liberal. But the 11th race has me wondering, how far to the left has it shifted? If Congressman Andy Levin wins, will that prove that it has become a more progressive stronghold? Or if Congresswoman Stevens wins, will that prove that the area is more moderate but still shifting leftward? Todd Spangler is a writer for the Detroit Free Press covering politics. He's been covering Congressmembers Andy Levin and Haley Stevens and can help us get closer to some of these questions. Todd, welcome to Detroit Today.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you for asking.
Especially with this amazing race in the 11th. I mean, we've already covered how we've got two incumbents coming up against each other. Let's just back up, Todd. How did we get here in this moment?
That is a fascinating question in and of itself, because you have the redistricting commission build this new district, the new 11th, into what was previously a Republican-leaning district that Congresswoman Stevens won in 2018, into a more Democratic district, a Democrat plus six district, reliably Democratic district. Everybody thought that, you know, Congresswoman Stevens, Congressman Levin would decide between this and the new 10th, which is a much more toss-up district in Macomb County, who would run in either one. And people thought that Levin would run in the 10th, which is more Macomb County. He decided not to, decide to run in the 11th, probably because he lives in the 11th. He grew up in the 11th. You know, his base in southeastern Oakland County is in the 11th, and decided to go there instead. So that sets up this Democrat versus Democrat, which frankly, a lot of Democrats in Congress, other Democrats, wish had not happened. They wished that Andy had run in the 10th. But, you know, he decided to run the 11th instead.
So Andy is the outlier here, messing up the party for the Democrats on this one.
Well, I think that I think he's got every right to run wherever he wants to run. I mean, you know, he's from Berkeley. You know, his family, the Levin family was centered in and around Birmingham. You know, his dad, Sandy Levin, who was in Congress forever, you know, represented Royal Oak, which is part of this district. Sure, people thought he would run in the 10th, but he has every right to run where he wants to.
Certainly, especially when the district gets drawn around where his home is, while, as I understand it, Haley Stevens had to move in order to be in the new 11th.
Well, I mean, Congresswoman Stevens lived in Rochester, but she also, I mean, she went to high school in Birmingham. She also has roots in this district. She did, you know, after she got married, moved to Waterford. I don't know that was motivated by this run per se. Again, I clearly her district, the current district that she represents, is more of this new district than even Levin's is. So she certainly has every reason to run in this district versus the other one.
So before we get into the differences between the two, the understanding that both have great claims to the 11th district, can you compare what the 11th district is like versus what their old districts on the old map are like in terms of demographics or just politics or what have you?
Sure. I mean, I think the clearest way to look at this is that this is the new 11th, which was this weird, gerrymandered, tortured kind of district that Republicans in Lansing drew in 2011, which stretched from western Wayne County through parts of Oakland County, up and around, sort of circled around Pontiac, and it was, and you know, it was meant to be a district that, frankly, you know, then Representative Thad McCotter could win, and then you know, it was stayed Republican for a while. Dave Trott won it. Carrie Benevolio was won that district, and then in 2018, where you had this real big pushback against President Trump, this district switched. It moved over, and Haley Stevens won it. And this new district, instead of being that kind of tortured district, is much more compact. It's much more southeastern Oakland County, excuse me, built into that with a little carve out around Southfield. And so that's it. It is much more compact, understandable district, which takes some of the strongholds that Levin had, which were down around Royal Oak, Ferndale, that area, and connected with Macomb County, which was that district, and combined those with that rest of southeastern Oakland County, made it more compact. And that's where you have this kind of district, which has this more inner ring area around Royal Oak, Ferndale, which Levin knows very, very well, along with the Birmingham, more outstretched, more sort of chamber of commerce area, suburban way you think of it, out in Birmingham and Bloomfield Hills and that area. So that's kind of the way it looks.
We're talking to Todd Spangler, a writer for the Detroit Free Press, covering politics, including this new 11th congressional district. And Todd, in some ways, this fight between Haley Stevens and Andy Levin, it feels kind of like a fight for the future of the Democratic Party, where Levin seems to present himself a bit as more pragmatic, progressive, versus Stevens a bit more moderate. Does it feel like a fight for the Democratic more broadly, at least here in Michigan? Does it feel like it may be a bellwether of where the scales are tipping in terms of progressive and Democratic politics?
I think it's a very interesting race in terms of what that district looks like and where that district is going to go. And of course this race is going to, like all races, are going to be decided by who turns out for this, who actually votes in this primary. I think you've got a point. There are a lot of Democrats who feel that the party hasn't been as progressive and as active as it needs to be. And Levin represents to a great degree that kind of movement into, you know, more supportive of Bernie Sanders and Liz Warren and AOC and Rashida Tlaib and the Squad. I mean, those are all people that he's more aligned with than Congresswoman Stevens is. But you can look at this district and see there's probably a bunch, or there's not probably, there are a bunch of pragmatic voters who might be swing voters in a lot of ways, but recently, in some recent elections, 18 and 20, have voted Democrat. And are you going to keep those voters in order to keep swing districts, you know, around the country? Or, you know, if you lose those voters, if you lose those voters because this district swings a different kind of way, what ends up happening in some other swing districts? So, yes, I mean, I think that what happens in this race may have national implications, because it might inform voters whether or not the Democratic Party is moving in the direction they want to see it move, or is it moving away from the direction they want to see it move?
With a lot of these wins changing, we've talked about the politics, but at the end of the day, these are candidates who have policy positions. And while they vote pretty steadily Democrat, there's got to be some differences between the two. Can you take a minute to tell us what are some of the major differences between these two candidates?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first point you hit, Nick, is really important one. These are two candidates who vote in the same direction almost all the time. I mean, they're both 100%. Right. Everything that Biden has wanted, has put forward, they have voted for.
Right.
So there's no, I mean, there's very little daylight between the two of them in a realistic sense. Now, where the difference is that Congressman Levin is much more likely to vote for and push for the same sort of things that you see Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib and those people supporting more progressive kind of things. When you know, when there's an amendment to cut national defense spending by 10% in the last national defense authorization bill, you know, Levin votes for that. He wants to cut defense spending by 10% on the floor of the House. But this is a deal that's already been worked out, and Congresswoman Stevens votes against that. And I don't think you would necessarily take that to mean Stevens wants there to be out of rampant defense spending. I think, being the more pragmatic Democrat, she's looking at it like this deal has already been worked out. This train's already going out of the station. He's voting to say no. We can still cut this. We should still cut this now. Those are the kind of differences you end up seeing. Congresswoman Stevens is much more business. I mean, she's going to vote much more along the lines of what is what she thinks is good for a pro business community than Levin might be. I mean, again, they're both going to say they're good for workers. They're both going to say that what they do is meant to create jobs, but they may differ on where that alignment is. Levin's going to be much more on that progressive wing. Stevens is going to be much more mainstream.
Yeah, a lot of similarities in terms of positions, maybe a little bit of changes in how they go about doing things and present themselves is what I'm hearing from you as we're talking about the 11th Congressional District, where there has been polling. The last that I've seen, it was pretty neck and neck. Where are we at right now, at least with polling in the district that you know?
I haven't seen much polling at all, quite frankly. I mean, compared to other years, there's been really a dearth of it. My understanding is that much of the inside polling shows that Congresswoman Stevens is ahead, perhaps comfortably, which, you know, may account for why we're seeing maybe a more aggressive campaign coming out of the Levin camp. That being said, primaries are notoriously hard to poll, and particularly when you have a new district and you don't know what turnout's going to be like, and I expect turnout to be pretty low, particularly on the Democratic side, where we know what the top of the ticket's going to look like with the governor and attorney general and secretary of state. So it really is just going to be a matter of who turns out. I wouldn't read too much into the polling, but I think what's out there would suggest that Stevens is probably ahead.
And this gets us to another point, right? As this is the primary, and that person's going to have to still go on to a general election where they will face a Republican. But this is a redistrict map. So do we know anything about what we can expect from a general election, how the winds are changing, or what the 11th looks like in terms of being a toss-up district versus leaning right, leaning left?
Right. The Republican that I think has the edge is a businessman from out in the Milford area, Matthew Denotter, first time candidate. It's certainly not a well known name in politics. Doesn't seem to be attracting a whole lot of attention or money. I think that in and of itself tells you where this district sort of lies. This is a Democratic district, and this is. If even in a Republican year, which this very well may be, in a district where inflation and those sorts of things are going to be very important, I still think the Democrat, whoever wins, is far and likely, I mean, almost certain to win in this district.
All the more reason why it's important to get out in the primaries, then, as we're speaking to Todd Spangler, a writer for the Detroit Free Press covering politics, including Andy Levin and Haley Stevens. But we also want to talk to you. What are the issues driving you to the polls in this upcoming primary election? And do you live in the 11th Congressional District? What do you make of Congressmembers Levin and Stevens? And is there any particular reason you're drawn to one or the other candidate? Give us a call, 313-577-1019, and we can talk to you about it. But first, I want to talk to Jason. Jason in Dearborn, you're next on Detroit Today.
Hi, thank you. This is a very vital important conversation, especially for people who live in the 11th district, and especially for working class Americans. I'm a UAW member, proud UAW member for 26 years. I live in the 11th district. I work in Dearborn, but I live in the 11th district. And I have to say that district is a progressive district. It needs to retain its progressive representation. Andy Levin has been a fighter for the UAW in particular, but working class people his whole life. We cannot afford to not send him back to Congress. He's the organizer in the Congress. We need him there. And let me tell you something. There's a part of Haley Stevens' campaign that is really upsetting to me as a UAW member and as somebody who works in the auto industry. There's this whole mythology about Barack Obama and Haley Stevens saved the auto industry. That's not the truth of what happened. The truth of what happened was, and I lived through this, the UAW opened up their contract and took massive, massive concessions to save the domestic auto industry. So for Haley Stevens to go around and on all her literature and on these ads talk about how she saved the auto industry, I think is highly disingenuous. And I have to say, Andy caucuses with the working class. Haley Stevens caucuses with the business class. That is a huge, huge distinction. It's a cleavage we're seeing in the Democratic Party between the members of that party who are happy to, like, you know, go along with what the business wants, and the fighters like Andy Levin who are going to caucus with the workers, who are going to represent the workers. I have no doubt when I go to work every day that Andy is fighting for me in Congress. I don't have that same feeling about Haley Stevens.
Well, Jason, we appreciate you bringing your point up here on Detroit Today. And Todd, I do want to get into the labor and support and UAW support that Stevens has, or excuse me, that Levin has, because Andy Levin does go back far with union and UAW organization, right?
He certainly does. Well, he goes back a long way with unions generally. I mean, he's gotten an immense amount of labor support, and he was a labor organizer. And you know, he was arrested during organizing, you know, efforts and things like that. There's no question that he has that history going for him. And he's indefatigable. And I didn't pronounce that at all well.
We got it though.
It's a tough word to pull off, and you know, just on spontaneous sometimes. There's no question that Congressman Levin has a long, long labor history, and questioning his support about that. But I will push back a little bit on what the caller said about Congresswoman Stevens and the auto rescue, because I mean it is absolutely true that the UAW took major concessions in reopening those contracts to fix that. I lived through that as well. And the fact of the matter is that everybody took concessions during that.
Right.
And because what was left to not take those concessions was possibly losing the domestic auto industry and GM and Chrysler going belly up.
Yeah.
Congresswoman Stevens was part of a group in the Obama White House that was making some very, very, very tough decisions. And, you know, and she was part of a group that was saying, I mean, when the idea that, you know, maybe we just abandon Chrysler was saying we can't do that. I mean, and without the investment that frankly the Bush administration and then the Obama administration made into going through this restructured bankruptcy, you know, Detroit's business community might not look like it does now. I mean, that was a much more complicated circumstance, more than just that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't in any way suggest that Congressman Stevens is anti-union. It's true that Congressman Levin is, you know, has that history with workers and deserves all, you know, its credit for that. But I mean, it's more complicated than just one this or one that.
Right. You have to break down the people where they're at, right? We're figuring out where the daylight between the two are, but that doesn't mean one is necessarily anti to the other. But we're going to continue with more Detroit Today as we're going to continue discussing this matter with Todd Spangler. We've got call lines open for you right now, 313-577-1019. Bob in Ann Arbor, you're going to be up, as well as Julie in Orchard Lake and Vince in Royal Oak. Keep it locked right here as we continue with more Detroit Today.
Bringing you news that matters.
Stories that impact your life.
Music from the Motor City and around the world.
This is 101.9 WDET.
Detroit's NPR station.
You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson, talking about one of the most important races happening on the Democratic side for the primaries right now in the 11th District. I'm talking about the race between Andy Levin and Haley Stevens with Todd Spangler of the Detroit Free Press. And we've got calls coming in right now. Next up, we have Vince in Royal Oak. You are smack in the middle of the 11th District. Go ahead with your comment today.
Okay, thanks. So I guess the previous caller, Jason, kind of stole a bit of my thunder, which was, you know, just to note that Levin has been, you know, a supporter of workers. And I think that's pretty important. The other thing is that if you look at where the money is coming from, I think it's important. You know, the one of the big issues has to do with Levin's support for certain things related to Palestine, whereas you know Stevens coming out of the government is more hawkish, and so there's people who are typically aligned with Republicans who are putting money into the Stevens campaign. So something similar is happening in the 12th with Janice Winfrey and Rashida Tlaib. So, you know, I think that's pretty important, and there's paranoia there on the part of people who support Israel because, you know, many people in this country are starting to see, like, what the heck is going on over there.
Yeah. Thanks for your point there, Vince. I really do appreciate that. And Todd, he brings up the point about where the money's coming from between the Israel and Palestinian conflict and how there's funding for sides pro-Israel that might be coming in to support Stevens. What do you have on that?
There is. And I mean, there's a vast amount of money that has come in from pro-Zionist, pro-Israel factions here in Washington to support Congresswoman Stevens. And I mean, millions of dollars. And I'm not exactly sure how much at this point. I mean, and we may not know right off the bat, but there's been a lot. And that's coming from AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. It's coming from their affiliated super PAC, which is UDP. And that's taking place in ads. It's taking place in mailers. And they have labeled, you know, Andy Levin, who is from one of the most prominent Jewish political families in the country, as being anti-Israel, which is a incendiary claim to make, certainly. And they've made that because, you know, more so than Congresswoman Stevens, he has aligned himself with people, including Congresswoman Tlaib, who he's good friends with, you know, who have been very, very critical of Israel. He's been very critical of Israel and its policies in the occupied territories, its treatment of Palestinians. He does not believe there should be settlements. He's been much, much more vocal on that. And I mean, given Congressman Levin's politics and his personality, this should surprise nobody. He's somebody who jumps into progressive causes with both feet. So that being said, and I wrote about this some time ago, the actual policies that he and Congresswoman Stevens both back a two-state solution are very similar. I mean, they both voted for Iron Dome. They both voted for these things. The real question seems to be that she's not openly criticizing Israel.
Right.
Okay? He is.
Right.
And that seems to be the real distinction here. Now, AIPAC and UDP have made it clear they want to elect Republicans and Democrats who are staunchly backing Israel and not criticizing the Israeli government and letting Israel deal with their issues. Still voicing their opinions about two-state, but not criticizing them about what's going on in the territory, letting them work that out themselves.
Right.
And that's not a position Levin wants, and that's why you're seeing this distinction.
All right. A lot of money coming into these races, but this is a big race, as we've mentioned, in Michigan's 11th. As we go next to Bob in Ann Arbor. Bob, you're next on Detroit Today.
Good morning. Thanks.
Good morning.
I want to really stress that the difference is, in my opinion, that Haley Stevens is a corporate Democrat. She voted with Republicans against the Raise the Wage Act, in favor of the corporations, in favor of companies like Uber and Lyft, who didn't want gig workers included. And I think gig workers, like every worker, should have the right to organize, the right to be in unions. She supported the pharmaceutical companies when Andy and others were trying to rein in the excessive profit, you know, abusive profits and really cost of prescription drugs. She stood up and sided with the pharmaceutical companies. On the environment, Andy's far more progressive. So it's really, you want a corporate Democrat who goes with where the money comes in? And APEC, I want to make this point. Jason's right. I was actively involved in the UAW during the time of the horrendous concessions and saving the auto industry. Haley Stevens was not any, I never heard of her, saw her, anything until she was running for Congress. And I was actively involved in all those negotiations, actively involved with dealing with the government body and Ron Blum and the people President Obama had appointed to look at the industry, and we barely saved the industry. So, you know, I think her claims are just not accurate. And I want somebody in there who's going to fight for working people. And Andy has demonstrated over and over again, Medicare for all.
Yeah.
Again, something that Andy promotes that she flip-flops on. I don't want corporate Democrats. I'm sick of, like, the mansions and cinemas who undermine President Biden, who vote with the corporations, who protect the corporations. I want somebody who's going to fight for
workers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I appreciate it, Bob. You do bring up the prescription drug pricing. Is there any distinction that you're aware of, Todd, between Andy Levin and Haley Stevens when it comes to prescription drugs?
I that is something that I got to say that I don't know specifically about where they both land on it. My presumption is that, you know, Congressman Levin is going to take a much more staunch look at, like, just putting in places that would cut prices. She's going to be much more mainstream, sort of like, how do we work this out?
Right.
I do have to say, because the last caller mentioned Ron Blum, who was you know, involved in the, was a key member of the auto task force under President Obama. I think if you talked to Ron, you'd probably find that he's probably an outward supporter of Congresswoman Stevens. I mean, they're, the two are close. I mean, whether or not this caller spoke directly to Haley Stevens during that process doesn't mean she wasn't involved.
Right,
in it.
And right.
I do want to jump back on something. It is absolutely true that Congressman Levin is a strong supporter in a single payer healthcare plan, that he wants Medicare for all, that, you know, he supports that Bernie Sanders type, you know, let's have one kind of healthcare, and that Congresswoman Stevens has moved back and forth on this, and as far as we know, is not a supporter of that. Last time, you know, it was any kind of speaking about it, that she thought there should be a, you know, different kind of plans. And I think you also have to look at the fact that besides them having two different political personalities, she's more mainstream, he's more progressive, if they also represented two different places.
I mean,
you know, Congresswoman Stevens is in a district that, you know, currently is probably a Republican plus one district.
Right.
I mean, she's won it twice, but I mean, that's, you know, and he's been in a position where it's somewhat more different, and they're going to be in a completely different district. So
it's an interesting time with all of these new districts. And we have another call right now, this time from Julie in Orchard Lake. Julie, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Great discussion. I very much appreciated the calls that have come in. I moved here from upstate New York, and I just want to preface this by saying I would be happy with either one of these congressional incumbents representing me in Michigan, because I came from Elise Stefanik's district.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a difference.
That is a difference. Given that history, I am leaning towards Andy Levin because I see the GOP has shifted so dramatically to an inhumane party that really embraces and fundraises to violence and cruelty and inhumanity. And I think we truly need someone who is going to fight. And I see that fight in Andy Levin. I don't see moderation with today's GOP. As a female, we're in a post-Roe era. Like, that blows my mind. There is no compromise with these people. Elise Stefanik did nothing after children were murdered in Newtown and Parkland, and her husband is now a lobbyist for the NSSF. They are like America's first couple of gunning down children, and there is no compromise.
I appreciate your call very much, Julie, and your perspective coming from New York again. Todd, what you're hearing, I'm hearing there a little bit. First of all, she does mention that she'd be happy with both, but also that what's happening on the right is causing people to pull maybe a little bit more towards the left and progressive in their choices. Are we seeing anything like that in this new 11th?
Yeah, I think you're seeing that everywhere. I think there's been a strong feeling for some time that as the country pulls along this partisan divide, that there's less room left in the middle, and people are being forced to pull more to the edges on both sides. You're certainly seeing that in this race, and that's why I say how this race turns out is a question for me, because while I think that, you know, the district written whole, I think maybe Stevens would has an advantage. It really is going to depend on who turns out and votes in the primary. And right. I think that you're more, given that the top of the ticket settled, you may have a position where you get more the people who are more angry, the people who are more motivated to turn out. And the Levin name, as well as Andy's progressive side, could help him greatly.
Right. We haven't even mentioned yet, really, the connection he has with, of course, Sander Levin and the history of the family, Carl Levin, of course, and that discussion. Though many here understand it, I'm sure Sarah in Birmingham also understands it. And Sarah, you are next on Detroit Today.
Thanks, and good morning.
Good morning.
There's been a lot of conversation about how similar the voting records of these two candidates are. My neighbors and I have paid attention to Congresswoman Stevens' career since she's been in Congress for almost 4 years, and watched all of her races, which you gentlemen have mentioned have been very contentious, toss-up races with Republicans. But never before have we seen this vicious negative attack ads against Congresswoman Stevens. And it's shocking to us, to me and my neighbors, that it's come from a Democrat against a Democrat. As you mentioned, as people have mentioned all along, it would have been perfectly reasonable for Congressman Levin to run in the tents where 73% of his constituents today reside. He left them all behind to choose to primary Congresswoman Stevens in her district. Congresswoman Lawrence has endorsed Congresswoman Stevens in this district, and Congresswoman Lawrence represents about a third of this district and has represented it honorably for many years. So it feels like a really unnecessary and mean attack on a fellow Democrat.
It makes
us uncomfortable.
I appreciate your point, Sarah. Friendly fire is never very fun. And with these ads going on, and Sarah brings up a lot of excellent points about, that we really got into in the beginning of choosing where to run and how this race is being played out. But what's your take, Todd, on the advertising in the campaign? Has it been going very negative, and has there been any pushback as a result of it?
It has certainly turned to a more aggressive campaign. I hesitate to call something negative if it's factual.
Right.
I mean, and I recognize that in politics people do, you know, take some license with things. Now there's an ad out there from J Street, a Jewish support organization that's backing Andy Levin, that does have, you know, the fact that Stevens has received this AIPAC UDP support and associating that with the people they're supporting who voted to overturn the 2020 election and the, you know, and maybe were slow and in some cases or have been, you know, linked with the Trump efforts ahead of the January 6, 2021 attack at the Capitol.
Yeah.
Those ads aren't necessarily incorrect in their text, but you know, it's a stretch to suggest that in any way suggest that Congresswoman Stevens was anything but supportive of President Biden and abhorred the attack on the Capitol. So but it's gotten you know much more mean spirited, particularly on well, I hesitate to say that one side, Levin's side, has gotten mean spirited when you consider the attacks that he's taken from AIPAC, with people calling him anti-Israel, with people calling him this most corrupt member of Congress from people from AIPAC, which is, you know, also clearly pushing a line that's not.
Yeah, I got to say, it is very, very low to come at a person of Jewish heritage like that and say they're anti-Israel. I mean, that's just a stretch beyond even in politics. Yeah. I can't. But
I do want to jump back to this one part, though.
About 30 seconds. Yeah.
In terms of like whether or not this was unnecessary, it's important to remember that the part that the Levin family represented that was most Democratic of the old district is in this new district. Southeastern Oakland County and Royal Oak and Ferndale and that area was very supportive of Andy, and it's understandable why he wanted to stay in that district. I mean, I recognize people thought he should run in this other district, but you know, that people can run where they want to run.
Right. You can run where you want to run. That's the beauty of our democracy, right? But that's all the time that we have on this subject with you, Todd, although it's been a very fascinating conversation. I know a lot of people are going to be looking into this 11th congressional race. So thank you for your great points and joining us to discuss that here on Detroit Today.
Many thanks, Nick.
We still have more Detroit Today coming up, where we'll discuss more politics in Michigan in the form of reproductive freedom in the ballot initiative campaign to add that to the Michigan Constitution. That's next up as we continue on Detroit Today.